so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
And now, with a spirit-filled heart and a declaration of faith, I want you now to turn to the person next to you, look at them in the eyes, and speak into their life and say, "He ain't done with you yet. He ain't done with you yet." Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God didn't just get you where you are, turn around and be like, "Nathan, he's done." But he ain't done with you yet. "Oh, but you messed up. He ain't done with you yet. Oh, but I got sick. He ain't done with you yet. Oh, but my kids aren't serving the Lord. He ain't done with you yet. Oh, but I got divorced. He ain't done with you yet. Oh, but I lost a loved one. He ain't done with you yet. He ain't done with you yet. He ain't done with you. If it ain't good, it ain't done." Amen. Come on. Hey, we got some really exciting things coming up. Before I read the scripture, I want to show you one of them. Next week, Love Month starts, February. Come on. I'm excited about Love Month. It's going to be ooey, gooey. No, it's not really. It's going to be all about this. Check it out. It's about God is love. It's about God is love. Realizing the love of God in your life will make you a better dad, a better mom, a better son, a better daughter, a better neighbor. Hey, I'm not married and I don't have kids. You're a neighbor. You're a co-worker. You're a student. Come on. Being and realizing the love of God in your life will make you better at loving the people in your life. Amen. And so it's going to be all about the love of God in you and through you. Amen. The Father heart of God. Praise God. But there will be one night that's all about that ooey, gooey romance. Come on, that ooey, gooey, lovey-dovey relationship love. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "I love you." The single boys right now are like, "Why didn't I sit next to Jillian or Joanne or whatever it is?" You're like, "Why wasn't I sitting next to her when the pastor told me to say I love you?" You could have professed your undying love in church. Wouldn't that have been perfect, right? Do better next time. Be prepared. Sit next to her next time, all right? Come on. No, but on February 7th, we're going to have a night called Crazy in Love with Robert and Taylor Madu. Robert and Taylor Madu, they've quickly become great friends of our church. They love our church. They've been gas bagging about our church everywhere they go. How good is that, right? They've become great friends of our church. And they're going to be here and they're going to talk all about that. We're going to have a night of worship and just a really fun conversation where Lauren and I are just going to talk to them about marriage and relationships and stuff. And here's the thing, you may have been divorced, you may have been separated, you may have lost a loved one, but everyone, honestly, just come along. Just come along. All right, God ain't done with you yet, all right? And you know what, you're like, "Man, I hope no one feels this," but even if you were like, "I'm too old for that," well then come along so you've got something to share with someone else. All right, so you've got something to share with someone else who wants to have a relationship. Now here's a couple of things about the night. There's a couple of thousand people that attend our church, right? But there's 600 seats. All right, so on the night, it's gonna be for people 12 years and up, okay? Because they're gonna benefit most from it, right? Like your three-year-old's probably not gonna benefit a lot from this night, okay? And so we really do want to make sure that we can make the seats available for everybody. So 12 and up, and it can come along. It will be appropriate for 12 and up. It won't be inappropriate at all right? It'll be just fine. Also, there won't be childcare on the night. And the reason for that is we really want our childcare workers to be able to come in here. We really want our student ministry team to be in here and be inspired so that they can have healthy relationships that they model for your kids, okay? And so, but I'll tell you this, if you desperately want to be here but can't get childcare, like ring up. I can't promise you, but we'll try and help you find some, all right? Okay, or maybe we'll help pay for it. I don't know. And people are now like, wow, thanks, Jesse. That's going to be expensive. But we'll figure it out, okay? We just want to help you, all right? Who's ready for the word? Oh, that's what I was going to say. Since there's only 600 seats, whoever comes, we'll make room for you. Like, we'll stack them, pack them, and rack them. You can sit on the floor. It'll be just fine. If you want to guarantee a seat and a good seat, go to myeternity.com/crazyinlove and reserve your seats, okay? Reserve your seats. Do that today so that you don't miss out. I know we only put it up like a couple of days ago, and there's already 150-something seats gone 2 days ago, so by now it's a lot more. Okay, so go get your seats. God bless you. Shall we read the scripture? Awesome. Actually, let's pray first. Heavenly Father, I just humbly ask you to help every single one of us to leave this place having been inspired, encouraged, and reminded that you are so, so good. Lord God, that there is nothing evil in you. There is nothing horrible about you. You are not a mean man with a magnifying glass, but you are in fact a loving Father and a benevolent God. And so today we just ask that your goodness and your glory would touch our lives, bless our hearts. In the name of Jesus, bless every wonderful person in this room. Amen. Acts chapter 12, before you take your seats, I am going to let you sit down eventually. I promise, all right? I promise. Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia. I can never say these words. You're like, I just cannot say them. It's Gamaliel and Tarsus, whatever. It's too hard for me, all right? Paul said, I'm a Jew born in Tarsus, brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel, and I was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors, and I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of the way. They were the Christians. I persecuted the Christians to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them in prison. As the high priest and all the council can themselves testify, I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem and to be punished. And about noon, as I got near Damascus, a bright light from heaven flashed around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, I asked. And God said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. God says in scripture, Jesus himself says, hey, what you do to the least of these, you do to me. What you do not do for the least of these, you do not do for me. What, when you hurt the least of these, you hurt me. When you bless the least of these, you bless me, right? So that's why Paul's like, who are you if I'm persecuting you? And he's like, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Why do you persecute me? My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. Click. There you go. What shall I do, Lord, I asked. Get up, God said, and go into Damascus. There you'll be told all that you have been assigned to do. Paul just got saved. Paul's just now meeting his Savior. And Jesus says, you're going to be told all the things that we have pre-planned for you to do. This is a dude killing people on his way to Damascus to kill some more Christians, and God's already got good plans for his life. I want to tell you, God's got good plans for your life. God's got good plans for your life. Someone say it again, he ain't done yet. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he had good things planned for you to do. Amen. Get up and go. My companions led me by hand because I was blinded. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that moment, I received my sight. Then he said, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and be seen. Sorry, and to see the righteous one and to hear the words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people. And here we are talking about him today. Still a witness to all people. Amen. Now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name. God bless you. It's Baptism Sunday. It's Baptism Sunday. I love Baptism Sunday. I love that our church is a church that is active. actively seeing people's lives transformed by the power of God. It's Baptism Sunday. Come on, give the Lord a hand. We're going to have a great service today. Give God a shout of praise and get ready. Take your seats. We're going to have a great time in church today. I love the 11:15 service, because after the 11:15 service, there is no other service today, which means I can go overtime. I can preach for 2.5 hours if I want to preach for 2.5 hours. So brace yourselves. You ain't eaten for a long time yet. Come on, all right? Although I am pretty hungry, so we might keep it, you know, short, sweet, and beautiful. But I'm just kidding. I'm not going to preach for 2.5 hours, so... Welcome to church. If you're new, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here. I am so glad that you're in church. One thing you need to know about our church is we're responsive. We're alive. We are not the frozen chosen. We are alive and excited about the goodness of God in our lives. And when the preacher preaches, whether it's me or Pastor Connor or Pastor Jed or Pastor Lauren or Pastor Robert and Taylor or whoever it is, when someone preaches here, we come here to receive the word. We come here to participate in the word of God. Amen. And so we get excited, we say amen, we clap, we cheer. Sometimes we even stand up and say amen, right? But I tell you what, be a part of what God wants to do today. Don't just watch, all right? And so I preach better when people yell at me. So let's do that today. What I just read to you in Acts was the in Acts chapter 22 was the conversion story of Paul, the of Paul the apostle. I read to you him talking to us about his pre-Christ life and his conversion moment, and the moment that Ananias told him to be baptized, and he said, "Get up and wash your sins away." And that's a confusing thing, because we know that Jesus Christ already paid the price for our sin, right? We know that that accepting Christ meant we are no longer going to be punished for our sin. We know that Jesus Christ's resurrection prophesies into our lives that we will have new life, that we are born again, right? And we know that God is a heart God. God is a God that looks at the inside and is not concerned by what you're wearing on the outside. And so if we know all that, why? Why did Ananias say, "Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away"? Right? Why? Because we know that our sins are paid for already, because we believed in Jesus Christ. You see, in the Old Testament, there was a massive emphasis placed on being clean or unclean. Things that were clean, things that were unclean, right? So you couldn't eat certain things that were considered unclean. You couldn't eat pigs. You couldn't eat bacon. Y'all should be freaked out more about that, all right? Jesus declared all food clean. Yeah, baby, come on. We can eat that pig. We can eat that bacon. Glory to God. Hallelujah, right? If he didn't, I'd be up here saying, y'all can't eat bacon, and y'all would leave. You're like, I want Jesus, but I want bacon too, right? Like, y'all would leave. But thank God that in God's amazing wisdom and foresight, he knew there would be a state called Iowa and they'd need an economy. And so he made sure, he goes, "We got to make sure that that state can have an economy. So I declare pigs clean." And then Iowa was able to raise and sell pigs so that people could make an income, so that people could tithe at Eternity Church, so that God's mission could be preached. And that's why he declared pigs clean. Right? I'm grateful that Jesus came and declared all people, all things clean, right? But in the Old Testament, there was an emphasis placed on clean and unclean. Sorry, I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable, didn't I, right then, right? People who were sinning, they were unclean. People who had certain things happen were unclean. Women at certain times of the month were unclean, right? There was just this big emphasis placed on clean and unclean, right? And people didn't want to be around you if you were unclean. Nobody wanted to be near you if you were unclean. Nobody would touch you because your uncleanliness was contagious and they didn't want what you had, right? There was a dude named Naaman. He was a leper, right? So like digits and stuff are falling off his body, right? Like, you know, like, whoa, bro, your nose, you know? Like you play got your nose with a leper, you got their nose, right? Like, and you were like, in Jesus' name, like, put that back on there, right? And so this guy was unclean. He was a leper, unclean. But if you were a leper in the Old Testament, everyone said that you're unclean, not just because your nose is falling off, but because you are spiritually disgusting. That there's something wrong with you that has made you unclean, and now God is punishing you with leprosy for your mistake. Or you slept with someone who had leprosy, or you were touching someone who had leprosy, or you did something that gave you leprosy, you're unclean. So there's a bloke named Naaman, and he had leprosy. Nobody wanted to go near him. Nobody wanted to touch him. He wasn't allowed to hug his wife. He wasn't allowed to hug his kids. He wasn't allowed to hug his friends. He was alone. He was dirty. Thank God he had an encounter with a prophet, and the prophet said, go wash yourself 7 times. 7 meaning complete, 7 meaning perfect. All right, go wash yourself 7 times in that dirty old river over there, and you will be healed. Because scripture also tied water to a cleansing in the Old Testament. People wouldn't go near him because he had a bad reputation. You wouldn't touch Naaman because he was dirty. He was unclean. Everybody knew it. His reputation preceded him. Before he went anywhere, somebody had to yell out, or they had to yell out, leper, leper, leper. So people would get out of the way. So before he even got there, everybody knew someone unclean is coming to town. Get out of his way. Everybody knew, and everybody believed he's being punished by God. There's a certain reputation that comes with being unclean. Not unlike how some people feel today. Not unlike the certain reputation that people sadly carry, shouldn't be carrying, shouldn't have to carry, shouldn't be judged by people around them, but people carry a certain reputation. But when Naaman went and washed himself in the water, his reputation changed. He wasn't dirty anymore. He didn't have to announce leper, leper, leper when he's coming into town now. Nobody's thinking, there's an unclean, dirty, filthy man. No, everything has changed. Now he's clean. Now he's forgiven. Now he's not hated by God. Not that he was, but that's what they believed, right? Now he's okay. See, when we get baptized, when we go through the water, our reputation changes. Amen. It's that public moment where we tell the world, hey, world, I am with him. I'm with him. When Paul talked about baptism, he compared it to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. See, what he's saying is our old life is dead and it's buried. Just like Christ was buried in the tomb. And we rise again out of the water into a new life, a new reputation. Come on. We rise again. We're born again. Everything has been made new, just like Jesus came up out of the grave. And when Jesus came up out of the grave, when the resurrection happened, that was Jesus Christ prophesying into your life that you will rise again. Amen. That you will rise up a new creation. Your old reputation is gone. You are holy, righteous, child of God. Amen. You're clean. I was thinking about why baptism is so important, why God wants us to do it, why God not just wants us but has commanded us to be baptized. And I was thinking about that, and it's like God is a God of inside. I said that, right? Like a God of the inside. So he's a heart God. So why this outward thing? Why is this act of obedience so important? And I don't usually use war analogies or war stories, but has anyone seen the TV series Band of Brothers? Give me a wave, right? Come on, like, wow, not many people, all right? Like, Lauren and I have watched it about 17 times. And I think it's nearly 20 years old, actually. And we've watched it a lot of times, and we love it because we just completely recognize as Australians that if America didn't join World War II, we were screwed, right? Like, we just know that if America didn't come, send the troops, right, we would have been overthrown by the Axis, right? We get that in Australia. We know y'all saved the day. Thanks, America. Thanks. I got a mummy and a daddy because of you. Thanks, America. Love you heaps, right? And so we love watching Band of Brothers, and there's these couple of episodes in there that are dedicated to the American soldiers fighting at Bastogne. I think they call it the Battle of the Bulge, actually. And it's a horrible place, dreadful experience, and they're being shot at relentlessly. They're being bombarded by the enemy mortars relentlessly, so much so that trees are exploding all around them. And they're dug into the dugouts, and they're sort of putting like broken down trees over the top, trying to protect themselves from the explosions and everything. They were in the midst of one of the worst battles of World War II, and it was in the middle, and there was snow and ice, and it was freezing, and people were getting frostbite, and like literally losing limbs and fingers from frost. It was an absolutely horrible experience, and it really does make you so grateful, especially as someone from another country, that their country was already dragged into that war, right? It really does make you grateful for the bravery and the courage of the American service people and veterans. And makes me super grateful, honestly, for veterans that have served in wars since then as well. And so we really do thank you. And I'm being serious. Like, we just are grateful for veterans at Eternity. We got a lot of veterans here. But as I'm watching it, you're seeing these blokes and they're absolutely covered in blood. They're covered in the blood of their mates. They're covered in ice. They're covered in mud. They're covered in snow. They're freezing. After a while, they're finally able to take the village that's on the other side of this, right? They're in the woods, and there's a village. They've been holding the line, but the time came to take the village. They're able to take the village. And they finally go and take the village, right? And they have a victory. Yes! And they take the village. And they get out of the woods, and the battle's over. That huge Battle of the Bulge, it's over, right? And they're walking out of the woods, and there's this immediate sense of relief. There's this immediate sense of freedom. They're immediately just like, right? It's done. Thank God. But they still looked dirty. They still looked cold. They still felt cold. They still smelled. They still smelt like the war that they were just in. See, while they were saved, there's these interviews that they have, and they're actually interviewing the gentleman that survived and the gentleman that are in the story, and they start talking about how it was done, but I hadn't had a shower in months, and all I wanted was a shower. They were saved, they were out of the woods, but all they wanted was a hot shower. See, when they were finally able to get in that shower was when they finally felt like it was truly over. The blood was being washed off. Their cold bodies were being warmed up. The past was being washed away. And after the shower, after passing through the water, they finally felt clean. When you give your life to Jesus, when you gave your life to Jesus, you were saved from your past. You were saved from your past. But many of you still battle with feeling unworthy, with feeling dirty, smelling like your past. Maybe other people still look at you and all they see is you're dirty. All they see is the blood. All they see is the ice, the snow, the mud. All they smell is the battle. Your baptism moment is the moment the soldiers longed for. It's the moment they found themselves in the showers. It's warmed up. It's letting go. It's washing away the stench of your past. It's changing your reputation. Come on. It's changing the fragrance of your life. It's the moment that you make it public. Hey, y'all, what God has already done on the inside of me, y'all are going to start to see come real on the outside of me. See, this is a transactional moment. It's not only a symbolic moment, it's a transactional experience. It's a choice that's being made to be obedient to God's command to be baptized. And as we do, as we take that step of faith, there's a collision between the physical world and the spiritual world. Just like being baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? That's a physical and spiritual experience. So is water baptism. When you get baptized today, you're obeying God. You're taking a physical step of faith that will cause a spiritual reaction, whereby what God has already done in your spirit, made you clean, blessed you, loved you, cleaned you up, made you a son, a daughter of God, all that He's already done in your spirit will now begin to manifest itself on the outside in your life. You're going to start to find freedom from that sin. You're going to start to find freedom from those addictions, those afflictions, those affiliations. Come on. You're going to start to find traction in your life. You're going to stop smelling like the battle and start smelling like the favor in Jesus' name. You're going to smell like salvation. You're going to smell like blessing. You're going to smell like a child of God. You're going to smell like favor. Someone say favor. Favor. We got some. Who's got those little air fresheners hanging in your car, the Eternity Church ones that says smells like favor? Give me a wave if you got one of those. Smells like favor, right? When we were designing them, they were thinking about writing F-A-V-A-H, so it says favor the way I say it. We thought that might confuse people, so we didn't do it. If you want one, ask Pastor Christy. She's the queen of merch. Like, she can get you anything, right? It's amazing. Go see her, right? She'll hook you up, all right? Just reach out on Instagram and Facebook. But you're going to start to smell like favor. You're going to smell like favor. You're going to start to see even more transformation in your life. You're going to see more courage, more faith, more hope, more strength, more victory. You'll take more steps of obedience because you'll take one. You'll be like, I'll do another one. You're going to get more, 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 more. Amen. Come on. Every time that we take a step of faith, every time we take a step of obedience toward God, toward God's plans for our lives, then we're going to experience more and more and more of God's goodness, of God's favor, of God's peace, of God's joy, of God's provision, and more of His plans in our lives. We've got to say yes to God. It's not just God, spiritually, I'm in. But physically, I ain't ever going to have a part of this. No, you want God to physically bless your life? Time to start taking some physical steps of faith. Amen. Time to start taking some physical steps of obedience in your life. Amen. Last week I talked about Israel going through the Red Sea. The Red Sea. I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but Moses was like, yo, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh's like, no, 12 times. No, 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 no. Right? And then finally, Pharaoh's like, all right, then, y'all can go. And so he lets them go. And then they all run out of Israel and they snatch up everyone's gold and everyone's diamonds and everyone's silver. And the Israelites are heading off. And then Pharaoh has this moment. He's like, ah, crap, who's going to build our pyramids? And so he's like, hey, y'all come back. And so he sends the army after them. Yeah, that was totally the Jesse Newman paraphrased version of what happened, just FYI. Don't be like, it doesn't say that. I know, I paraphrased, all right? So the Israelites are running away, and then there's an army of pharaohs coming after them, and they get stuck between a big Egyptian army and the Red Sea in front of them, right? They were released, and people were probably talking about it. The rumors have started. Did you hear that Pharaoh let Israel go? I heard he let him go, but I heard he changed his mind, so he took him back, right? Nah, Pharaoh let him go. Nah, he chased after them. Nah, I heard they were stuck and then he got them. Right? Like there's a rumor going around that maybe they've been let go. I don't know. Have they been let go? Maybe something's changed. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Perhaps one of the most amazing things that the water did was take their salvation experience from a rumor to a testimony. See, before they walked through the water, the people on the other side maybe heard rumors. Did you hear that Pharaoh let them go? I haven't seen them. I didn't see that. I don't know if that's true. You know, like when you get saved, did you hear that something's changed in Billy Bob's life? I doubt it. I haven't seen it. Doubt that's going to happen. I doubt Pharaoh actually let them go. They've been stuck there for hundreds of years. They've been stuck in that. There's no way. There's no way. But then, all of a sudden, Israel walks up out of the Dead Sea, and people are seeing that this isn't just a rumor. They have been set free. Pharaoh tried to hold them back, but God came in His grace. God came in His power. God came in His glory and set them free. See, it was a rumor, but now it's a testimony of God's power. It was a rumor, but now it's a display of God's glory. It was a rumor, but now it's a story of the grace of God. Now people know that, yeah, no matter what you do, God loves you. Baptism is that moment where the transformation that God has done in your life goes from rumor to testimony. Goes from maybe it happened to displaying that it's happened, amen. Publicly you're saying, hey yo, my old life has been buried with Jesus Christ. My old afflictions, my old addictions have been buried with Jesus Christ. The things that I have feared, my old Pharaoh's army has been buried in the water. When I come up out of this water, I come up out of it new. I come up out of it clean. Now y'all are gonna see what God has already done in me. Amen. Praise God. I want to have a conversation because I thought it's one thing just to be like, yo, baptism's awesome, you should do it. And I thought it'd be cool to have a couple of people from our church come and talk with me about that. And so I've invited, I think it's Faith and Pastor Christy to come and share with us right now. Yeah, here they are. Give them a hand as they come on out. Last night we had Derek and Rachel, and the first service we had Faith and Derek, and now we've got Christy and Faith. And so just wanted to have a different couple of people every time, just let you see what God has done in people's lives. And so, yeah, glad you're here. Yeah. You like these guys? Yeah. Faith is like on the news every week, right? Every week the news comes on, I'm like, and even if I'm like, if you know, the one time I've ever been at church and I'm like, I didn't want to be here, you know, and then Faith's like, hey, and I'm like, all right, let's do it, you know, like, anyone else feel like that when Faith comes up on the news? You're like, yeah, it's going to be a good day, right? I'm just kidding. There's never been a time I haven't wanted to be here. But if I did, Faith on the news would make it better. I want to talk to these guys about their baptism experience, when it happened, why they did it, and what's changed in their life ever since, just to give you guys a bit of a brief, just a brief snapshot of A, a couple of cool people from our church's lives, and B, just a bit of a testimony of God's goodness in their lives. So if you could both just share with us when you were baptized, okay?
I was baptized like a year and a half ago here.
Yeah, over there, yes. On the old stage, yep.
That's good. This month marks 10 years since I was baptized.
Come on. And why? Tell me why you got baptized, Christy.
Yeah. So it was just kind of a moment like this, sitting in church, a normal church service, and I just began to feel the Holy Spirit start to stir in me. And it was this moment, this defining moment, this small, quiet moment where the pastor was talking and everything he said was for me. Every verse, every example was for me. And I just received that in that moment. And through that, I just drew a line in the sand. Because for years, I was that one that was one step in, one step out for Jesus. And this was my moment. And so I never looked back after that.
Awesome. Awesome.
That's good.
I love the line. Yeah. Baptist is like a line saying, yep, this is how it's going to be from now on.
Yeah.
Right? I'm all in, and I'm chasing after God's plans for my life. Yeah. Faith?
Yeah, that's good. So for me, I was in my last year of middle school, and I think I was just watching my peers around me, and whenever they were going through something or having troubles, I always, like, watch people, and I saw that they would put their things, like, their problems into just things, like, whether it was people or whether it was things, and it never really ended up working out, and they would just kind of go back to the same place they were, and I myself have done that as well. And then I have a friend who just inspires me a ton, and I look up to her so much. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I realized that God was the one who, like, will never fail. And if I put my all my burdens on Him, then, yeah, it'll work out. So, yeah.
So for you, it was that all-in moment as well, wasn't it? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's under. And that friend, Annika, was she on the news with you today?
Yes.
Yeah, like Annika, who's about 8 feet taller than you, right?
Yes.
I love that part, though. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes. And we all should say that, you know, like even if it's just, you know, even just in our minds, you know, like that I'm going to live a life that I'm saying, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, I don't have it all together. I'm not perfect, but I'm following Christ and you should follow me. And that's what that moment was. It's like Annika, basically her life was saying to Faith, follow me as I follow Christ. And she did. And so really cool. What else was I going to ask you? Oh, that's right. In the story, I was talking about how the Israelites walked through the Red Sea, right? And then they come up out the other side and they turn around, they look back, and the soldiers are all being buried in the water, right? And I love that story because while it seems somewhat violent, I also I love the imagery of the afflictions of their past being buried in the water. And I think about that, and I think, like, what in your life is there, like, what could we bury? Is there addictions? Is there afflictions? Is there oppression? Is there depression? Is there identity, negative identities? Is there fear? Is there, selfishness? Is there bitterness? Is there something, like, did you have an experience like that where you look back and you're like, I buried that in the water? I buried that. See, like Christ died on the cross and I buried that with him, you know, like anything like that in your baptism?
For me, it was just the exhaustion of leading a double life. I was literally one person. I had two faces.
Yeah.
I had the Jesus face and I had the party face. And in that moment, I left all the guilt and the shame of my past. And I really, like, hear me when I say this. Waking or coming out of that water was who I was always designed to be. And so me taking that step of faith and saying, yes, I am. I am made in you. I am a child of God. I am holy and dearly loved. That was my moment.
And yeah, so often, like, after you give your life to Christ, you get baptized, people might look at you and say, stop being fake, right? You ever had that kind of thing? Like, God's doing something good in your life, you've changed, and people call that fake. But honestly, the God's plans for your life is the real you, right? That's the real you. And the messed up stuff before, and that's not the real you. That was the fake you. The real you is the holy you, the righteous you, right? And even when you mess up in future, right? Like, because y'all are going to mess up, right? Come on, sorry, you are. Like, even after you're baptized, you will make a mistake. And less God willing, like, because you're just, you know, more and more being obedient to God. But you will make mistakes. And sometimes we'll say, the real Christy has reared her head. And that's not true. No, that's not true. The real Christy is the one that's chasing after God. The real Christy is the one that's living in God's plan for your life. The mistake, that's the fake you trying to come back and take over again. But the real you is that one that's chasing after God and his plans for your life. And so I just hate it when people are like, the real you. Come. No, the real me is the one that's chasing after God. And we all have different seasons in our lives where which one's winning. But yeah, sorry, Faith, go.
For me, yeah, I love how you worded that. Yeah, I definitely had two faces too, just two different sides, or how I would act around different people, for sure. But for me, when I was, like, in the water, I just remember visually, like, picturing in my head, like, when I came out, like, looking down at the water and, like, seeing those things, and then stepping out and just seeing that they were left there. So for me, those things were just, like, shame of my past mistakes. Those just were really... They still sometimes get to me, but I just remember that visual moment. And also, another big thing for me was the, like, need from affirmation from other people. Like, always needing to please people. That came off, too. So just wanting to please God now, for sure.
Awesome. So just lastly, before we have you guys head off, why should they get baptized, right? Like, tell any reason why you think someone in here that hasn't been baptized should?
Because it will change your life. There's something, there's a difference between being saved, and I knew that my salvation was secure. I had already done that. But there was something about taking that step of faith, that act of just publicly declaring, he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings in my life, of getting out of my seat and saying, I am His. And so this moment, don't let it pass you by, because I know in that moment where all of a sudden your heart starts beating and you're like, oh no, I don't want this to be for me. I didn't bring clothes. I didn't bring all this stuff. Like, don't let this moment pass you by. There's a million reasons why you shouldn't have been at church this morning, but you are. And so I'm just so excited that you're here.
And Faith, anything you want to add?
Yeah, just going off of that, the devil will try to speak lies into you to not do it today. He'll put excuses in your head, and just don't let him win. Just rise above that, and I just believe that you all should really just do it. It'll be amazing, and it will change your life.
Awesome. Awesome. I agree 100%. God bless you. Thank you, ladies. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Christy. Thank you, Faith. Hey, everyone, let's stand up and... Yeah, y'all can stand up with us. And, hey, actually, can one of you guys take this? Thanks, mate. This here, though, is a baptism bag, okay? So I know a lot of y'all are like, well, I did not come to church prepared to get baptized today. That's all right. We are prepared to baptize you, all right? So we have a baptism bag here. In there is a New Life shirt and a pair of shorts, and we've got a towel in there as well. We've got everything that you need so you can get baptized today. So I encourage you to do that today and to just get out there and get it done. We've got small, and we've got as big as we need, as small as we need. We've got everything we need. Nothing matters except for you saying, I'm going to take this step of faith and give my heart. I'm going to take this step of faith. Obey God. And Derek said in one of the times he was on stage today about when he took that step of faith in obeying God, that he it made the next step of faith and the next step of obedience in God easier. Just one at a time. You're starting a chain reaction in your life.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.